eager to be joined here by Dan Hynote. As we said last week, hired by the Nashville Predators. Dan, thank you so much for joining us here on Preds Insiders, and welcome to Smashville.
Yeah, thank you. It's nice to be on the good side of Smashville for one.
Well, last week the news came out, I believe it was Thursday, that you would be hired as new assistant coach under head coach John Hines. What has this last week been like for you as you've now joined the Predators organization?
Well, you know what, it's been great. It's been a whirlwind, you know, on the personal side with the family and you know, housing and all that. But from working environment, I can't be more excited. Obviously, the reputation of the city, the program, and obviously Coach Hines, like, it's just it's a win all around. So I can't wait to get this thing started.
You mentioned how now you're on the good side of things with the Nashville Predators. What was your experience when you played with Colorado and St. Louis coming into, it wasn't called Bridgestone Arena at the time. It would have been under different names when you were coming in here. But even in the early years, what was it like as an opposing player coming into Nashville?
Well, it was, in my opinion, one of the top three hardest places to play because they always had a lineup that was agitated before the game even started. You got, you know, 2-2 running around, the crowd just going crazy every time he stepped on the ice, and you just basically knew you were always going to be in one and you were going to be sore the next day, and you'd be lucky to escape with a point if you did, because it was just a really difficult place to play, and also a lot of fun, because any kind of arena that gets that loud, you know, for physical play or fights or, you know, that kind of an atmosphere just makes it a lot more fun for at least for the bottom tier players, right? That's our kind of game. So it was terrible in that sense, but also a ton of fun place to play against.
I know the coaching profession and a lot of professions out there can be almost as much as who you know as much it is as what you know. Along those lines, what was your relationship with John Hines before last week when the news became official?
It was more like one degree of separation where, I'd met him briefly at the program. His reputation there obviously is pristine and great as a human and obviously as a coach. Then a lot of people that I trust with my life know him and have worked with him or worked against him and know him on a better level. And they were very jealous of the fact that I, you know, would have the opportunity to work with him. So it was kind of like that, you know, like you have to do some research because, you know, personalities are a big part of this game. And you want to make sure that as a staff, you spend so much time together that you want to make sure it fits, right, personality wise. So nobody had a bad word to say about him. And, you know, he's just a great human all around. So, like I said, I'm very fortunate to have the opportunity.
Well, what was kind of your impression in your conversations with John Hines before the news became official of what he's expecting out of this team, what he's expecting out of you, and just kind of the situation that you're walking into?
Well, he sees, I think, what the rest of the league sees, but obviously on a different level, just how good this team really is, right? Like, it's kind of, it's just that animal waiting to get out of the cage. And you know, with how detailed he is and the way he's able to teach the small things, the important details that separate, in my opinion, you know, the difference between a mediocre team and a great team. You know, he sees the potential like I see it, and like the rest of the coaches and management see it, that this is a team that's primed to win. You know, like we're not coming in here for a rebuild. This team can win the cup. You know, we have everything that, you know, when you look across the league right now at the teams that are vying for the cup or that have been successful, There's no difference, you know, between our team and those teams. So it's awesome. You know, it's a great opportunity, and you know, he's really, really good with those details and understanding the grind of the game, right? The hard part, that the mental makeup of what it takes, you know, to get past games 60 to 80, you know, where kind of the upper echelon teams start to separate themselves. He understands all that and sees it. But I was really impressed with the way he sees the game from a coaching aspect, because he sees things differently than a lot of people. And for me, that's a great learning opportunity. Plus, you know, I think he and I are going to be a good team in that way.
Dan Hynote, new Predators assistant coach here with us on Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Dan, your previous NHL coaching experience was with the Columbus Blue Jackets earlier last decade, and then you spent the last two seasons, with the U.S. National Team Development Program, and now you're jumping back into the league. Since the last time you coached in the National Hockey League, what have you learned about being a coach that you can apply here in 2020?
Well, the good part about the program is that you deal with these young players, right? They're immature. They're 16 when they come in, 17, 18 when they leave. And, you know, you watch the development part. And the league, you know, the NHL is so young now. Development has to be part of your process. It's not just about winning, because you want to build a team for a long time because you get these players so young. So part of your job is development still, you know, both in the mental aspect, but the physical aspect as well. So, and on the ice. So you got all these factors that basically the NTDP is built around, the same kind of factors that I'll be applying to the young players in Nashville. From a coaching perspective, just, I think the understanding how to communicate with the young player was probably the biggest asset that I'll take from there, because from year to year, even the buttons change on these players, and obviously individually they all have their own buttons, but the language changes, the vernacular, you know, you go from Fortnite to whatever the new game is to whatever, you know, there's just so much difference now between the married guy with four kids and the young player coming in, that you have to figure out how to communicate with both and yet somehow bring those two together as a good teammate, you know? So that, I think, understanding how to communicate with a bunch of different types of people will be a huge asset.
Dan Hynote here with us on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Dan, one thing that you mentioned earlier was mental development, and the Nashville Predators last season seemed to have something missing mentally when they had some lapses within many games. For you, what goes into developing a player's mental side of things?
Well, I think a lot of it is trial and error, you know, and it's, a lot of it is how you react to a situation. You know, the reason that sometimes, you know, players can go into a funk is because of their reaction to something negative. So if you can battle that, where they can have a short memory, and especially in a season that we're about to partake in, it becomes much easier for recovery, even, you know, shift to shift even, but also game to game. And so a lot of the mental process, and keep in mind that, you know, ego plays a huge part in this. And if we can help, you know, them to kind of stay away from the comment sections, you know, of articles and the negativity out there, because it's everywhere, right? Everybody's got an opinion, and these young players grow up reading these opinions, and that's tough. That's tough on the mind, you know. But at the end of the day, what we have to make them aware of is that it doesn't matter what they think, it doesn't matter what the world thinks. What matters is what the organization thinks and your teammates think. And, you know, if we can get them bought into that mindset, then a lot of that negativity goes away. And then the loss, we come in as coaches the next day and we have a short memory, because we know that we have to win the game, you know, tonight. So we're going to, you know, fix whatever needs fixing, but then it's gone. There's no grudges. It's just let's win tonight. And if we can get them on that same page mentally, then the game becomes a lot easier.
Dan Hynote here with us, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Dan, in your stint with the Columbus Blue Jackets last decade, as an assistant coach, you had an opportunity to work with Ryan Johansson in his first three seasons in the National Hockey League. Ryan Johansson now with the Nashville Predators. What did you see out of a young Ryan Johansson back then?
Well, we saw the makeup of a number one centerman in the league, which is very special, right? Because you have to have all the tools, including the mind. And that, you know, sometimes physically you can have all the tools, but they don't quite think the game or don't have quite the hockey IQ, but he does. You know, and that's special, and he's proven that, you know, year after year. I mean, his statistics when the games count are off the chart, right? So there's a warrior there in him, and we saw you know, glimpses of that there. He was really young when I was coaching him, but great kid. You know, there's a good competitor inside of him and a great human, And, you know, so if you're looking at a ball of wax, I mean, they don't get any better or bigger than what he has. So I'm pumped to be on the same side as him again once again.
So in your last season with the Blue Jackets, Johansson had his breakout season, 33 goals in 82 games. And since he came to Nashville from Columbus, he hasn't really been a goal scorer. He's been more of a facilitator and playmaker to set up guys like Philip Forsberg and Victor Arvidsson. But as someone who saw Johansson score 33 goals in a season, do you feel like he still has another level when it comes to scoring goals compared to, you know, what he has kind of turned into in Nashville?
Yeah, and you know what? And that, in my conversations with Coach Hines, you know, he talked about what he saw with Joey, right? And he sees a number one centerman that can put up 30, but could also even vie, you know, for the Selke. Like, he thinks the game that well. He's such a selfless player that a lot of times he's a pass first guy, which is great. And, you know, it's a great attribute to have, but also, you know, it can become predictable if you're a pass first guy. So, you know, in our talks, with Coach Hines, you know, he'd like to see him shoot more. He'd like to see a little more variability into his game to make him a little more unpredictable. Makes it harder on the goalies, makes it harder on the defensemen. And I couldn't agree more with his insight. So that's kind of what we see.
Dan Hynot here with us, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Dan, what made you want to get into coaching after playing in the National Hockey League?
Well, it started when I was a kid. My old man was a coach at everything. So he coached me in all my sports, but also coached fast pitch women's softball. And I know how far removed that sport is from ours, but coaching is coaching, and watching his interactions and how he changed not only how these ladies played softball, but also changed their lives. Right. And so you see the impact that a coach can make. And then, you know, I think back to my years growing up, I can tell you every single coach I've ever had. I could tell you probably 10% of the teachers I had in school, and I could tell you every single coach. So to me, seeing the impact that he had, knowing the impact that my coaches had on me, it was a really easy transition, because that's kind of, at the end of the day, if you have it in you to want to help people, coaching is the easiest way. So that's kind of how that all came about.
Very cool. Dan Hynot here with us, ESPN 102.5 The Game. A lot of people listening, Dan, may not realize that you won a Stanley Cup with the Colorado Avalanche back in 2001. And we were talking before we came on air here about how I used to be a Colorado Avalanche fan in my younger years when I grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio, before moving here to Nashville, since there wasn't really a local team up there in Cincinnati. And Patrick Waugh was my guy. And that team was just oozing with talent, with Patrick Waugh, Peter Forsberg, Joe Sakic, Alex Tanguay, Dan Hynot. When you think back to that 2001 season and you guys winning the Stanley Cup in Game 7 against the New Jersey Devils, and, you know, Raymond Bourque lifts the cup for the first time after receiving it from Joe Sakic, what goes through your head with all those memories about that team?
You know what? A lot of it is very little to do with the hockey, and that's the special part, right? Like, these guys are, most of them are still in the game in some capacity, but they're just such good human beings. And we were such a tight team. You know, I had mentioned before in an interview, you know, just how much that team kept each other accountable. And because, well, A, because the standards were so high, but B, because we all loved each other. So it made it easy. You knew it wasn't personal, because the person asking you for more was your brother. Right. It wasn't, well, you're not doing it either. It was never like that. It was, you're right, I need to be better. And you felt bad because you're letting your brothers down. It wasn't because Bob Hartley was yelling at us to do it. I mean, he did, and he was effective, but it was more because we were such a tight group, and we believed in each other that made the cup possible, you know? So that when I see that highlight, that's what I think about, are all the boys, you know, and how tight we were, all the good stories. A few years back, we did an alumni game against the Red Wings outdoors. And it was great. It was so much fun. And then we all sat in a locker room for probably 4 hours after the game, just telling the same stories we've told a million times, and they get funnier every time. Same inside jokes, but we were just that tight, you know, and it just felt like home, even being there with the alumni. So that to me is what kind of I remember.
And one of the star players, as I mentioned, was Peter Forsberg. And Peter Forsberg, one of his last seasons, was traded to Nashville. And I don't think Preds fans really saw all of Peter Forsberg and what he was capable of because of injuries here in his short stint with the Preds. Do you ever think back on Peter Forsberg's career and think what could have been if injuries didn't plague him at certain points in his career?
Oh, without question. And I'm biased, and I don't ever say this to his face, and I hope he never hears it, but I think he was the best player in the game all around, possibly ever, because of the style that he played. And I was fortunate enough, I was his roommate on the road with Colorado, because we just ended up being really tight, because by default, when I first got there, he was the only other single guy. So he basically grabbed me by the ear and taught me the ropes. But I got to see firsthand just how much pain he had to endure every single day. And basically crawling to the bathroom, before we went to the game, just because his foot was so bad. And it wasn't like he stayed away from contact. He was a lightning rod. And so, I saw firsthand just how much he had to fight through. And I think if he had stayed healthy, sky was the limit. I think even in his shortened career, he won every single thing you can win. Right. Mm-hmm. Whatever trophies are out there, he won. That's not a coincidence. So, I feel bad for Nashville not getting to see that side of him. But it's funny. He as soon as I signed the contract and it got released and all that, he called me. It was, speaking about how much he loved Nashville and the organization and the people and everything that I kind of already knew. But it was great and reassuring from, getting it from him as well. So, and he wants to come back and visit. So when he does, I'll make sure everybody gets to see him.
Awesome stuff. Dan Hynote has been our guest here on Preds Insiders. Dan, thank you so much for your time this evening. Really happy to see that you're joining the Nashville Predators. And whenever training camp starts, can't wait to talk to you again.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And we can't wait as well. So we'll see you soon.
Good stuff there from Dan Hynote. Really enjoyed that conversation. Hope you did as well. If you missed any part of that conversation with Dan Hynote, you can go back on demand at thegamenashville.com and catch all of it. What did Adam Vingan think of the Dan Hynote hire? Also, what does Adam expect out of Peter Laviolette with the Washington Capitals? We'll get to that and a lot more with Adam Vingan coming up next here on Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app.